to build our communities while they build good careers that provide for their families. This season, we hope you get to enjoy
good
time
morning
with
and
friends.
Welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And a blessed new year.
You as well.
Good. Are we on? Okay, welcome to our radio audience who have joined us. A truly blessed new year to you also. For your worship, if you're following us, we will be using the Divine Service Setting 4 on page 203 and our following hymns, 367, Angels from the Realms of Glory, and 389, Let All Together Praise Our God, just before the sermon. During the distribution, 332, Savior of the Nations Come, it is our hymn of the month. 358, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. And 384, which was the tailing piece for the pre-service music of the Father's Love Begotten. We joined the ancient church back over 18 centuries to sing that one. And we will conclude our service today with 374, Gentle Mary Laid Her Child. And I have just one announcement. I will be supplementing or complementing Pastor Thomas's Bible study here as we wrap things up on the apocalyptic things in Revelation with a Hitchhiker's Guide to Revelation's Visionary Numbers. That will be for Bible class today. Our first hymn, We Join the Angels. Divine Service Setting 4, page 203. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. And since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As an ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The lessons appointed for this day, which is the first Sunday after Christmas, the first one comes to us by way of the prophet Isaiah, where we read in the 61st and 62nd chapter these words. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading, a classic reading for the season of Christmas from Galatians chapter 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to the temple to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. His father and his mother marveled at what he said was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And the sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew, became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from His Son, our beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is glancing back at us as we look in His manger today. Amen. It's so simple and has been part of the classic, the historic worship of the church around this time of Christmas. It's so simple and clear that it is the dividing line between Christianity and every other religion that claims any form of salvation, from saving the earth to saving you for some future life after death. Here is the dividing line, because this one says, who's really done it all for us? In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that they might be sons, adopted as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into our hearts to say, crying, Abba, Father. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. There's a lot of technical terminology in that, and a lot of to-the-point business about the law itself. And that's where we're going to go. Because you see, with St. Paul, we value those words of Galatians 4 as though everything in life and beyond depended upon it. And in fact, it does. Everything God intends for us, all He wants for us, lies right there in four short verses, pinned to the swaddle, the diapers of Jesus lying in the manger. They are, and Luther would be proud of St. Paul at this point, they are, what does this mean when it comes to that tiny life occupying a Bethlehem feed trough? You see, when God the Father got everything together just His way, according to His timetable, He sent forth His Son, as we just confessed, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus was out to accomplish, even there in His conception and infancy, what we could never hope to do for ourselves. You see, Jesus, that tiny baby, is the answer to a really nagging question that haunts the conscience of every human being, if Paul is right in Romans 1 and 2, and I believe he is. How on earth are we, how am I, going to get out from the damning charges of the law? And it's really bad on two fronts, because one of them, when you consider the moral law of God, deals precisely with our behaviors and our motives. And I'm sorry, that means we have to be absolutely perfect as God Himself is perfect, and that's bad, but it gets worse. When you start filing through the commandments, you come to the third commandment and a little phrase, remember to keep the Sabbath day what? Holy. Holy means separate. It means other. It means you are squeaky clean all the way down in your character, just like God. You will be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. And I'm sorry, we fail on both fronts, one in our behavior and our righteousness before the law, that sinks. And the other one, the last time I looked in the mirror, I did not see my halo, or if there was one there, I'm pretty sure it fell all the way down around my waist. I had to stop there. We need to be squeaky clean and free of the accusations of legal failure. Here comes Jesus to put His body, even that tiny little body, between us and the death sentence we deserve, keeping already in this infancy with His circumcision and the details of the law. Literally, the Lord presenting Himself to the Lord there in the matter of the presentation of the temple of Luke 2. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. That's because the law accuses, and we are always found guilty before that law that way. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem, that is to buy back out of the slavery to sin, redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. Or, put that another way, the baby of Bethlehem came with your adoption papers in His tiny hands to make you God's own child and a legitimate son. That is a technical term, meaning you have an identity and a place you belong. And it's there in that word, Abba, Father, but I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll get there. You are adopted as sons. You belong. One, you get to call God your Father as much as Jesus does. And two, God has poured out the Spirit of His Son into your heart so that you can sing with angelic choirs, "Man shall live forevermore because of Christmas Day." Faith hangs on to our redemption as though everything depends on it, because it really does. Nothing else can even come close for comparison. Now, here's where the soup begins to thicken. You see, redemption, as God spells it out there, is His ride. I'll repeat that. The wagon of redemption is God's ride, and the only way you get into that is B-I-O, by invitation only. And that invitation is yours in your baptism, but I'm getting ahead of myself. The important thing, it's God's ride, and we are invited by grace through faith, so that we can also sing, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." That needs to be crystal clear, because faith alone and grace alone can get lost in the gristmill of life, whether it's school, work, family tensions, family feuds, facing whatever you have coming at you medically. And some of us understand a little better than others what that may mean. Yeah, throughout all of that, faith alone, grace alone can get so easily lost, misdirected, and then misplaced. And faith falls prey to the competition. The worst competition, by the way, is our own twisted, perverted human nature. It is our capability to grow a pair of itchy ears and to want something other. That's what lies behind our word from God for today. It's the context for what Paul had to say to the Galatian congregations. You see, everywhere Paul went in the Roman Empire, as an ambassador of God's reconciliation, there was a thief that followed him. Everywhere, right behind, over his shoulder. That thief was out to rob the cross of its saving power. And if it succeeds at robbing the cross of its saving power, that also means it empties the manger of the infant Jesus and his value. For Jesus means Savior. It's a name, yes, but also a solo job description no one else could ever claim. That name was the God-given destiny of God Himself to get God's own demanded heavy work of enduring our misery that we deserve because of our sins, and then suffering the death that we should have received because we are separated from God. The misery is there when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And of course, the other one is the final word from the cross. It is finished. We don't add to that. But there's always that human nature that keeps wanting to do just that. A thief. That thief had a public name. In Paul's day, they were called the Judaizers. They were members of the church, so it's not as though they're out there. They're in here, members of the church, to be sure, but they were the group that demanded that the Gentiles at the very least be circumcised as per the law given to Abraham. But then even more, that they were to observe the Jewish traditions that were handed down from Moses. And it works like this, and by the way, this hasn't changed. The Judaizers would say this: Paul told you the truth about Jesus, but not the whole story. There's more. It catches the ear first. You remember how more worked in the Garden of Eden? Yeah. You will be like who? You mean there's more than simply living a perfect life in Eden? Huh? Nevertheless, Paul told you the truth, but there's more. It's subtle. It catches the ear. That's the way of the thief, the snake oil salesman falsifying truth, misdirecting, then displacing faith itself by diluting the thing that creates faith, the truth, the gospel itself. And that's the war zone. There's always more, better, something to do when the thief pitches his good-sounding lies. Faith alone isn't complete. Your redemption is almost done, but not quite. Things are not really right with God unless or until you, and here comes the hook. Faith no longer is about Jesus Christ alone. Now it's about who? That person in the mirror. It's about you. It's about me. The eyes have lost the focus of faith, Jesus Christ. There's something you must do, must go on to accomplish, must further believe, and the kicker is that sort of thing, that something to do, that something more gives us that itchy sensation in the ear that fits our flesh. It appeals to our nature, this side of the fall. It makes us feel good. We like our control. We like to see results that we have created. Or am I really far from the tree? And I don't think so. It was about, I had been at Salem about 20 years. And one of the seasoned saints, one of the matrons, matriarchs, if you will, in the church that everybody respected. It was a quiet moment in a narthex, and she walked up to me, and what's important here, if you remember nothing else, is this motion right here. If you want to, take your fingers and put maybe a 16th to an eighth of an inch between them, because she came to me with a really troubled look, and I could read it right there in that sentence. Pastor Miller, isn't there something, not even a little thing we have to do to be saved? I said, nope, God did it all. Her chin dropped to her chest. One look at her, and I knew this was a Jacob moment. Does everybody know what a Jacob moment is? It's where you have to wrestle with who? You wrestle with God. Now, that's something you don't do in your brain. You wrestle with God in your soul. Wisdom said I needed to shut up, which is not an easy thing for the pastor to do, but I surprised myself, and I actually kept my mouth shut at this moment because she had to do the wrestling. I couldn't do it for her. But I want to be clear about something else with that. This was not a coming to Jesus moment for the first time, and people make a mistake about that. Jesus was already in place in her life. This was a matter of insight and maturity. The washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit was already hers in her baptism so many, many years ago. And this is that thing that comes by way of God's people who are spirit-guided and word-provided. Insight is always a part of a maturing faith. It doesn't know age, since we are always about growing up in Christ, setting our minds on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And that's always a challenge, isn't it, for us, to continue to grow up into Christ. The constant motion forward and upward of the life of the Christian isn't a level line that goes up this way. Don't be surprised if you find yourself going like this, sometimes backwards, down and up, but always in a direction, in a course that goes back. You know where you're going to be with Jesus. I happen to have the pastoral privilege of seeing that faith mature, because when we met again, I think we say, she got it? Okay. But that whole event brings us back to the thief that would steal faith from us. The thief, Satan, was at work and would destroy the beautiful thing faith in Jesus Christ really is. Satan is the original liar and murderer from the beginning. In fact, Paul addressed that in a left-handed way earlier in Galatians. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Cast the evil eye on you, cast the evil spell on you. It was you, and before your eyes, that Jesus Christ publicly was portrayed as crucified, or put that another way, robbed the cross, and you empty the manger, the gospel collapses. Faith goes into cardiac rest, a failing heart. Faith has been replaced by works, grace by the demanded legal actions of the law. And the two erode a childlike trust in God. In its place arises the notion that you have to get in good with God. The law appeals to our fallen nature because that's the way it works in the world. You broke it, you fix it. DIY, right? Do it yourself, religion. As ludicrous as it is, and sounds that broken people can possibly fix themselves. Drop your favorite coffee mug on the floor, separate handle from the mug, and wait for the coffee cup to fix itself. What are the odds? Okay, that's the way it is. Our nature, as ludicrous as that is bent on keeping up the effort to keep trying. But that's the thief at work, undermining the grace of God. In our text, DIY meant the rite of circumcision given to and through Abraham under the Old Covenant. It also meant the stringent keeping of the Jewish traditions handed down from Moses. All of this covered up the reality of God himself and his will. Notice it was all about what you do. The thief was using both to stalk and destroy the basis of faith, because you see, faith comes solely, only by promise. Hear this, Paul said in no uncertain terms, you Judaizers call Abraham your father. Listen to what your father Abraham did and do as he did. Before he was given the rite of circumcision, Abraham believed God. He trusted God, and that was what was counted to him as righteousness. Before circumcision, before the law of Moses, faith stands alone. There is no law that can create faith. If I twisted your arm out of its socket and said, you will believe, you think that's going to happen? Might I get compliance to words? Yeah. Do you create faith? No, because faith doesn't come from demands. It comes from an object that offers you promise and hope. And tell a child, and I love this illustration, that they're going to go to the zoo or Disneyland, and all of life is oriented towards that one thing. In fact, they'll be up at 3:00 in the morning, 8 hours before you're supposed to leave, helping you get everything ready. That's what drives faith, promise. For us, promise in a future that comes from the great forgiveness of sins that's to be had on the cross and from the manger. Only God and his promises can draw the sinner out of hiding, imparting trust that we need. Only good news from God himself can touch the heart and propel people as it did the shepherds. Good news of great joy. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And they didn't have to be told twice, nor ushered there. Where the promise is in place, it inspires the heart to go see this child, our Savior. We find a spontaneous response to God's presence in today's word. We cry out, Abba, Father. And as much as I like the endearing notion that that is Daddy, there's still more to that. Abba, Father is a position, a station, and it applies our relationship to the Father. It's his title. It gives us a belonging, an identity. We are back at home where we rightly belong, in the welcoming presence of God our Father. See there in your baptism, your name has been added to the will. You don't force yourself into a will. You are included in the will. There's our inclusion. It's God's circle of faith, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Technical term, son means heir, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. He cried out, Abba, Father. So do we. And Paul wanted to tell the Galatian readers what that meant in the day-to-day business of living as one who is possessed by the Spirit of God's Son, as one who is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He would say this, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the cravings of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. You do realize that only someone in Jesus Christ can say that, because only someone who is in Jesus Christ sees the difference from the work of the Spirit according to the Word and that own perverse workings of our flesh. If you doubt that, consult the news. Bloody, brutal, bold, violent, self-pleasing successes. Tonight, a lot of drunkenness, because the changing of the clock, the changing of the year, also reminds us that we're getting 1 year. Isn't that a great thought? But that's our flesh. The Spirit produces fruit. Remember, Jesus said, abide in me, I in you, where that's taking place. The same brings forth much fruit. It takes a living thing to produce fruit. And it takes a life alive in Christ to produce the kinds of things that truly please God or of benefit to our neighbor. I just read an illustration of that in the last 10 days. The pastors in the circuit are reading a book by, it was Thomas Keller, isn't it? First name Thomas, I think. And he's got a marvelous illustration. When you are living by the Spirit, he says, it reminds me of two people who have just fallen in love. You want to find out everything about them, what they like, what they dislike, what you want to avoid. You know, okay, I accept the fact some people don't like Braunschweiger. Okay. That's the way it is. But I'm not going to insist that they eat it, right? You notice how things are geared where there is that desire, that intense desire to please. That's us with God, our Heavenly Father. And how do you please him? Go back to the commandments. You'll find out what pleases him and all those comma buts, right? That's the other end that Luther included. But to gladly hear the word, right? Help him to improve and protect his property and business and so on. Those are things that are fruits of faith that spring from those initial love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those aren't all personal possessions. That's equipment. That's tooling. That's the sap that produces the fruit that is pleasing to God. So, the law does serve us two ways today. One, it reminds us just how far we are from God, and that Luther nailed it when he said the life of the Christian is one of daily repentance, the first of the 95 Theses, a constant return to God by grace through faith. And the second, answering the question, what truly pleases God, since I am no longer an outsider, but an heir and a co-heir with Jesus Christ, and I get to live just like my brother, my big brother, Jesus, who was once as tiny as we were. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen. Please rise. And let us pray. Eternal Lord God, in the fullness of time, you sent forth your Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us and give us the adoption as your sons and heirs. Hear us, Father, as we call to you in his name. Give us grace to rejoice in Christ's blessed incarnation and grant us a glad new year. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lead your church, Lord, to follow the example of blessed Simeon, that all baptized Christians would embrace the Christ child by word and faith, and so be ready to depart whenever they are called. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, from whom all fatherhood on earth is named, bless Christian families with your promises. Give parents diligence and delight in their work, and grant your favor on all children, that they may grow in strength and wisdom. Bless widows, orphans, and broken families also with your mercy. Give them joy in the redemption you have won for us in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, mighty Lord, you have given power to the nations and to those who govern for the good of their people. Bless our president, Congress, governor, and all our leaders, that justice may prevail and your people would be free to live at peace with all. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, receive our prayers for those who suffer from loneliness. Comfort them with the sure and certain knowledge that you will never forsake them. Give them family and friends within the household of faith with whom they can find loving companionship. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, help the sick and suffering, especially those for whom our prayers are desired, including Mary Jo, Lynn, Ben, Joanne, Mark, Louis, Arlene, Marlis, Tim, Greg, Diane, Ruth, Kathy, Lacey, Joyce, Haley, Marlene, Arlene, Nancy, Amy, Sarah, Cara, Marlis, Erno, Ben, Lynn, and Jim. Surround them with your love in Christ. According to your gracious will, heal them. Fill their hearts with a certain hope of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, Father of lasting peace, show your mercy to those who receive the Lord's Supper this day, that they would behold their salvation in the very body and blood of Christ given for them and with Saint Simeon. Be well prepared to depart in peace according to your word. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Grant us together, we pray, from all ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us, for to you, Lord, alone, we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. For the benefit of those who will be leaving us, radio waves, we pray this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It's truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery, of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed be you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, all of you drink of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
bless and keep you in his baptismal promise to you. Take this and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The body of Christ willingly given into death for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take this and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Right, perfect, holy, righteous, pure, the very body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take this and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. Take this and drink the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the very blood of our Savior Jesus, shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. Take this and drink. This is the very blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, flowing in your arteries and veins, will strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. You can therefore depart in peace. Amen. The table of the Lord. Take this and eat. This is the true body, the very body of our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.